answer. An elderly gold soars overhead, older than any human I've ever seen. We lower our heads as she passes. Red's up here. Have to get paid. Dancer explains when we are alone. Not much, but they're given money and enough treats to make them dependent. What money they have, they spend on goods they're made to think they need. Same with all the drones. Harmony hisses. So, they're not slaves? I say. Oh, they're slaves, Harmony says. Enslaved by their suckling on the teats of those bastards. Dancer struggles to keep up, so I slow down as he speaks. Harmony makes an irritated noise. Golds structure everything to make their own lives easier. They have shows produced to entertain and placate the masses. They give monies and handouts to make generations dependent on the seventh day of each new Earth month. They create goods to grant us a semblance of liberty. If violence is the gold sport, manipulation is their art form. We pass into a low-colour district, where there are no designated walking paths. The storefronts are lined with electronic green ribbons. Some stores peddle a month of alternate reality in an hour's time for a week's wages. Two small men with quick green eyes and bald heads studded with metal spikes and tattooed with shifting digital codes suggest for me a trip to some place called Osgiliath. Other stores offer banking services or biomodifications or simple personal hygiene products. They shout things I don't understand, speaking in numbers and acronyms. I have never seen such commotion. Brothels lined with pink ribbon make me blush, as do the women and men in the windows. Each has a flashing price tag playfully hanging from a thread. It's a moving number that suits demand. A lusty girl calls to me as Dancer explains the idea of money. In Lycos, we traded only in goods and swill and burners and services. Some blocks of the city are reserved for the use of high colours. Access to these districts depends on badges of warrant. I cannot simply walk or ride into a gold or copper district, but a copper can always slum in a red district, frequenting a bar or brothel. Never the other way around. Even in the wild free-for-all that is the bazaar. A riotous place of commerce and noise, and air heavy with scents of bodies and food and automobile exhaust. We walk deep into the bazaar. I feel safer in the back alleys here than I did in the open avenues of the high-tech sectors. I do not yet like vast spaces, and seeing the stars above frightened me. The bazaar is darker, though lights still shine and people still bustle. The buildings seem to pinch together. 100 balconies form ribs in the alleyway's heights. Walkways crisscross above, and all around us lights blink from devices. It is more humid here, dirty, and I see fewer tin pots patrolling. Dancer says there are places in the bazaar where even an obsidian should not go. In the densest places of man, humanity most easily breaks down, he says. It is strange being in a crowd where no one knows your face or cares for your purpose. In Lycos, I would have been jostled by men I'd grown up with, run across girls I'd chased and wrestled with as a child. Here, other colours slam into me, and offer not even a faint apology. This is a city, and I do not like it. I feel alone. This is us, Dancer says, gesturing me into a dark doorway where an electronic flying dragon shimmers on the surface of the stone. A massive brown, with a mod job for a nose, stops us. We wait for the metal nose to snort and sniff. He's bigger than Dancer, Dye in his hair, he growls at me, taking a whiff of my hair. A roster this one be. A scorcher peeks out from his belt. He's got a shiv behind his wrist. I can tell by the way his hand moves. Another thug joins him on the stoop. He's got jewellery processors on his eyeballs, little red rubies that flicker when light catches them just right. I stare at the jewellery and the brown eyes.
What's what with this one?
You want to go? The thug spits. Keep eyeing me and I'll take your liver to sell at market. Thinks I'm challenging him. I'm actually just curious about the rubies, but when he threatens me, I smile at him and give a little wink like I would in the mines. A knife flips into his hand. Rules are different up here.
Boy, keep playing. Dare you. Keep playing.
Mickey is expecting us, Dancer tells the man. I watch Modjob's friend as he tries to stare me down like I'm some sort of child. Modjob smirks and leers at Dancer's leg and arm.
Don't know a Mickey, cripple.
He looks to his friend.
You know a Mickey?
No, ain't got no Mickey here.
What a relief.
Dancer sets a hand on the scorcher under his jacket.
Since you don't know Mickey, you won't have to explain to Mickey why my generous friend couldn't reach him.
He moves to his jacket so they can see a glyph etched on the butt of his gun. The helmet of Ares. When he sees the glyph, Modjob gulps and says, "Squab." Then they fall over each other to open the door.
Gotta take your shooters.
Three others move toward us, scorchers half up. Harmony opens her vest and shows them a bomb strapped to her stomach. She rolls a blinking detonator over her nimble red fingers.
Nah, we're good.
Modjob swallows. Nods.
You're good.
The interior of the building is dark. It is a darkness thick with smoke and throbbing lights, much like my mine. Music pulses. Glass cylinders stand as pillars amongst chairs and tables where men drink and smoke. Inside the glass, women dance. Some writhe in water, their strange webbed toes and sleek thighs moving to the music. Others gyrate to the thudding melody in environs of golden smoke or silver paint. More thugs guide us to a back table that seems made of iridescent water. A slim man reclines there with several creatures of the strangest sort. I thought them monsters at first, but the closer I look, the more confused I become. They are humans, but they've been made differently. Carved differently. A pretty young girl, no older than Io, sits looking at me with emerald eyes. The wings of a white eagle sprout from the flesh of her back. She's like something torn from a fever dream, except she should have been left there. Others like her lounge in the smoke and strange lights. Mickey, the carver, is a scalpel of a man with a crooked smile and black hair that hangs like a puddle of oil down one side of his head. A tattoo of an amethyst mask wreathed in smoke winds around his left hand. It is the sigil of a violet, the creative's. So it is always shifting. Other violet symbols stain his wrists. He's playing with a little electronic puzzle cube that has changing faces. His fingers are fast, thinner and longer than they should be, and there are 12 of them. Fascinating. I've never seen an artist before, not even on the HC. They're as rare as whites.
Ah, Dancer.
He sighs, without looking up from his cube.
I could hear you from the drag in your step.
He squints at the cube in his hands.
And Harmony. I could smell you from the door, my darling. Terrible bomb, by the by. Next time you need real sneaky craftsmanship, look Mickey up. Yes?
Mick, Dancer says, and seats himself at the table of dream things. I can tell Harmony is growing a bit dizzy from the smoke. I'm used to breathing worse stuff.
Now, Harmony, my love, Mickey purrs, have you given up on this cripple yet? Come to join my family, perhaps? Yes? Get yourself a pair of wings? Claws on your hands? A tail? Horns?
You'd look fierce in horns.
Especially wrapped in my silken bedsheets. Carve yourself a soul and you might get a shot,
Harmony sneers.
Ah, if it takes being a red to have a soul, on this I shall pass.
Down to business.
So abrupt, my darling. Conversation should be considered an art form, or like a grand dinner, each course in its own time.
His fingers fly over the cube. He's matching them based on their electronic frequency, but he's a bit too slow to match them before they change. He still hasn't looked up. We have a proposition for you, Mickey, Dancer says impatiently. He glances down at the cube. Mickey's smile is long and crooked. He does not look up. Dancer repeats himself.
Straight to the main course then, eh, cripple? Well, propose away.
Dancer swats the cube out of Mickey's hands. The table goes silent. The thugs bristle behind us, and the music continues to pound. My heart is steady, and I eye the scorcher on the thigh of the nearest thug. Slowly, Mickey looks up and cuts the tension with a crooked smile.
What's what, my friend?
Dancer nods to Harmony, and she slips a small box over to Mickey.
A present?
You shouldn't have.
Mickey examines the box.
Cheap stuff. Such a tasteless colour red.
Then he slides the box open and gasps in horror. He recoils from the table, slamming the box shut.
You stupid, sodden bastards! What is this?
You know what they are.
Mickey leans forward and his voice becomes one lone hiss.
You brought them here? How did you get them? Are you insane?
Mickey glances around at his followers, who peer down at the box wondering what has so unbalanced their master.
Insane? We're bloody damn manic.
Dancer smiles.
And we need them attached. Soon.
Attached?
Mickey starts laughing.
To him.
Dancer points at me.
Leave!
Mickey screams at his entourage.
Leave, you simpering, sycophantic miscreants! I'm talking to you, you freaks! Get out!
When his entourage has scurried away, he opens the box and dumps the contents onto the table. Two golden wings. The sigils of a gold clatter onto the table. Dancer sits.
We want you to make our boy here into a gold.
Chapter 11. Mad.
You're mad!
Thank you.
Harmony smiles.
I assume you misspoke. Pray repeat yourself,
Mickey says to Dancer.
Ares will pay you more money than you've ever seen if you can successfully attach those to my young friend here.
Impossible,
Mickey declares. He looks over to me, measuring me for the first time. He's unimpressed, despite my height. I don't blame him. Once, I thought myself a handsome man of the clans. Strong. Muscular. Up here, I am pale and wiry, young and scarred. He spits onto the table.
Impossible.
Harmony shrugs.
It's been done before.
By whom, I ask?
He turns his head.
No, you cannot bait me.
Someone talented.
Harmony taunts.
Impossible!
Mickey leans even farther forward. His thin face has not a single pore.
There's DNA matching him with the wings. Cerebral extraction. Did you know they have subdermal markings in their skulls?
Of course you didn't.
Data chips attached to their frontal cortexes to substantiate their caste. Then there's synapse linkage, molecular bonding, tracking devices, the quality control board. Then there's the trauma and the associative reasoning. Say we make his body perfect. There's still one problem. We cannot make him smarter. One cannot make a mouse a lion.
He can think like a lion.
Dancer says plainly.
Oh, he can think like a lion.
Mickey snickers.
And Ares wants it done.
Dancer's voice is cold.
Ares, Ares, Ares. It doesn't matter what Ares wants, you baboon. Never mind the science. His physical and mental dexterity is probably daft as a damn bowl cleaner's, and his tangibles won't match. He's not their species. He's a roster.
I'm a hell diver of Lycos, I say.
Mickey raises his eyebrows.
Oh-hoo! A hell diver! Clear the halls! A hell diver, you say?
He mocks me, but he squints suddenly as if he's seen me before. My whipping was televised. Many know my face.
Bugger me blind,
he mutters. You recognize my face? I confirm. He pulls up the viral video and watches it, looking back and forth between it and me.
Aren't you dead with that girlfriend of yours?
Wife, I snap. Mickey's jaw muscles flicker under his skin as he ignores me.
You're making a savior,
he accuses, looking over at Dancer.
Dancer, you bastard. You're making a messiah for your gory damn cause.
I never looked at it that way. My skin prickles uneasily.
Yes,
is Dancer's answer.
If I make him a gold,
what will you do with him?
He will apply to the Institute.
He will be accepted. There he will excel well enough to reach the ranks of the peerless Skard.
As a Skard, he can train to be a praetor, a legate, a politico, a quaestor.
Anything.
He will advance to a prime position, the primer the better. From there, he will be in a position to do as Ares requires for the cause.
Mother of God,
Mickey murmurs. He stares at Harmony, then at Dancer.
You want him to be a bona fide, peerless Skard, not a bronzy.
A bronze is a faded gold,
of the same class, but looked down on for inferior appearance, lineage, and capabilities.
Not a bronze,
Dancer confirms.
Or a pixie.
We don't want him to go to nightclubs and eat caviar like the rest of those worthless golds. We want him to command fleets.
Fleets? You lot are mad. Mad!
Mickey's violet eyes settle on mine after a long moment.
My boy, they are murdering you.
You are not a gold. You cannot do what a gold can do.
They are killers. Born to dominate us. Have you ever met one of the Aureate? Sure, they may look all pretty and peaceful now, but do you know what happened in the conquering? They are monsters.
He shakes his head and laughs wickedly.
The Institute is not a school. It's a culling ground, where the gulls go to hack at one another till the strongest in mind and body is found. You will die.
Mickey's cube lies at the opposite end of the table. I walk over to it without saying a word. I don't know how it works, but I know the puzzles of the earth.
My boy, what are you doing?
Mickey sighs in pity.
That is not a toy.
Have you ever been in a mine? I ask him. Ever used your fingers to dig through a fault line at a 12-degree angle while doing the math to accommodate 80% rotation power and 55% thrust so you don't set off a gas pocket reaction while sitting in your own piss and sweat and worrying about pit vipers that want to bury into your gut to lay their eggs?
This is...
His voice fades as he sees how the claw drill taught my fingers to move, how the grace with which my uncle taught me to dance is converted into my hands. I hum as I work. It takes a moment, maybe a minute or three, but I learn the puzzle and then solve it easily according to frequency. There seems another level to it, mathematical riddles. I don't know the math, but I know the pattern. I solve it, and four more puzzles. Then it changes once more in my hands, becoming a circle. Mickey's eyes widen. I toss the device back to him. He stares at my hands while working his own 12 fingers.
Impossible,
he murmurs.
Evolution,
Harmony replies. Dancer smiles. We will need to discuss price. Chapter 12. The Carving. My life becomes agony. My sigils are attached to the metacarpus in each hand. Mickey removes the old red sigils and cultivates new skin and bone over the wounds. Then he sets to installing a stolen subdermal data chip into my frontal lobe. I am told the trauma killed me, and they had to restart my heart. I've died twice then. They say I was in a coma for 2 weeks, but to me it was nothing but a dream. I was in the Vale with Io. She kissed me on the forehead. And then I woke and felt the stitches and the pain. I lie in bed as Mickey tests me. He has me move marbles from one container into other containers coded by colors. I do this for what seems a lifetime.
We are forming synapses, my darling.
He tests me with word puzzles and tries to make me read, but I don't know how to read. You will have to learn that for the Institute, he giggles. My dreams are cruel things to wake from. In them, Io comforts me, but when I wake, she is nothing but a fleeting memory. I am hollow as I lie in Mickey's makeshift medical cell. An ion germ killer buzzes next to my bed. Everything is white. Yet I can hear the thumping of music from his club. His girls change my diapers and empty my piss bags. A girl who never speaks bathes me 3 times a day. Her arms are willowy, her face soft and sad, as when I first saw her sitting with Mickey at his liquid table. The wings that curl outward from her back are bound with a crimson ribbon. She never meets my eyes. Mickey continues to make me develop synapse connections as he repairs the scar tissue from my neural surgery. He's all laughs and smiles and lingering touches on my forehead as he calls me his darling. I feel like one of his girls, one of the angels he sculpted for his own pleasure.
But we must not be satisfied only with the brain, he says.
There is much work to be done on this ruster body of yours if we want to make you into an iron gold.
And that is?
The golden ancestors. They call them the iron golds. They were hard men.
They stood lean and fierce upon their battle cruisers as they laid waste to the armies and republic fleets of Earth. What creatures they were! His eyes go distant. It took generations of eugenics and biological tampering to make them. Forced Darwinism.
He is quiet for a moment, and it seems an anger builds in him.
They say carvers will never duplicate the beauty of the Golden Man. The Board of Quality Control taunts us. Personally, I do not want to make you a man. Men are so very frail. Men break. Men die.
No. I've always wished to make a god.
He smiles mischievously as he does some sketches on a digital pad. He spins it around and shows me the killer I will become.
So, why not carve you to be the god of war?
Mickey replaces the skin of my back and the skin of my hands, where Eo applied bandages to my burns. This, he says, is not to be my real skin. It is only a homogeneous base layer.
Your skeleton is weak because Mars's gravity is 0.3 of Earth's, my delicate little bird. Also, you have a diet deficient in calcium. Gold's standard bone density is 5 times stronger than naturally occurring bone density on Earth, so we will have to make your skeleton 6 times stronger. You must be of iron if you want to last the Institute.
This'll be fun.
For me. Not you.
Mickey carves me again. The agony is beyond language or comprehension.
Someone has to dot God's I's.
The next day, he reinforces the bones of my arms. Then he does my ribs, my spine, my shoulders, my feet, my pelvis, and my face. He also alters the tensile qualities of my tendons and muscle tissue. Mercifully, he does not let me wake from this last surgery for several weeks. When I do wake, I see his girls around me applying new cultures of flesh and kneading my muscles with their thumbs. Slowly, my skin begins to heal. I am a patchwork of flesh quilt. They begin feeding me synthesized protein, creatine, and growth hormone to promote muscle growth and tendon regeneration. My body trembles in the nights and itches as I sweat through new, smaller pores. I cannot use pain medication strong enough to numb the agony, because the altered nerves must learn to function with the new tissue and my altered brain. Mickey sits beside me on my worst nights, telling me stories. It's only then that I like him. Only then that I think he is not some monster cooked up by this perverted society.
My profession is to create, little bird, he says one night as we sit together in the darkness.
Light from the machines bathes his face in queer shadows.
When I was young, I lived in a place they called the Grove. It was what you might think of as a circus culture. We had spectacles every night, celebrations of colour and sound and dance.
Sounds terrible, I mutter sarcastically. Just like the mines. He smiles softly, and his eyes find that distant place.
I suppose it may seem a plush life to you. Yet there was a madness to the Grove. They made us take pills. Pills that could make us fly between the planets on wings of dust, to visit the fairy kings of Jupiter and the deep mermaids of Europa. My mind always separate from body. No peace to it,
no end to the madness.
He clapped his hands then. And now I carve the things I saw in my fever dreams, just as they always wished. I dreamed of you, I think. In the end, I suppose, they'll wish I hadn't dreamed at all.
Was it a good dream? I ask.
What?
The one with me.
No. No, it was a nightmare. One of a man from hell, lover of fire.
He's silent for a spell.
Why is it so horrible? I ask him.
Life. All this.
Why do they need to make us do this?
Why do they treat us like we're their slaves?
Power.
Power isn't real. It's just a word.
Mickey ponders silently. Then he shrugs his thin shoulders. Mankind was always enslaved, they'll say. Freedom enslaves us to lust, to greed. Take freedom away, and they give me a life of dreaming. They gave you a life of sacrifice, family, community. And society is stable. There's no famine, no genocide, no great wars. And when the golds fight, they obey rules. They are noble about it when the great houses bicker.
Noble? They lied to me. Said I was a pioneer.
And would you have been happier if you knew you were a slave? Mickey asks.
No.
None of the billion low reds beneath Mars would be happy if they knew what the high reds knew. That they are slaves. So, is it not better to lie?
It is better to not make slaves. When I am ready, he inserts a force generator into my sleeping tube to simulate increased gravity on my frame. I've never known pain like this. My body aches. My bones and skin and muscles scream against the pressure and the change, till I'm on medication that turns the scream into a dull, forever moan. I sleep for days. I dream of home and family. Every night I wake after seeing Io hang yet again. She sways across my mind. I miss her warmth in bed beside me, even though they give me an HC immersion mask for distraction. Gradually, I'm weaned from the pain medication. My muscles still aren't used to the density of my bones, so my existence becomes a melodic ache. They begin to feed me real food. Mickey sits on the edge of my cot, stroking my hair well into the nights. I don't care that his fingers feel like spider legs. I don't care that he thinks I am some piece of art. His art. He gives me something called a hamburger. I love it. Red meats and thick creams and breads and fruits and vegetables make my diet. I have never eaten so well.
You need the calories. Mickey coos. You have been so strong for me. Eat well. You deserve this food.
How am I doing? I ask.
Oh, the hard parts are over, my darling. You are a brilliant boy, you know. They have shown me the tapes from the other procedures where other carvers tried this.
Oh, how clumsy the other carvers were. How weak the other subjects.
But you are strong, and I am brilliant.
He taps my chest.
Your heart is like that of a stallion's. I've never glimpsed one like it before. You were bitten by a pit viper when you were young, I assume.
I was. Yes.
I thought so. Your heart had to adjust to counteract the effects of the poison.
My uncle sucked most of the poison out when I was bitten, I say.
No.
Mickey laughs.
That's a myth. The poison cannot be sucked out. It still runs through your veins, forcing your heart to be strong if you want to continue to live. You are something special. Just like me.
Then, I will not die in here?
I manage.
Mickey laughs.
No, no. We are beyond that now.
There will be pain, but we are past the threat of mortality.
Soon we will have made man into God, red into gold. Even your wife would not recognize you.
That is all I've ever feared.
When they take my eyes and give me ones of gold, I feel dead inside. It's a simple matter of reconnecting the optic nerve to the donor's eyes, Mickey says. A simple thing he's done a dozen times for cosmetic purposes. The hard part was the frontal lobe surgery, he says.
I disagree.
There is the pain, yes.
But with the new eyes, I see things I once could not. Elements are clearer, sharper, and more painful to bear.
I hate this process. All it is a confirmation of the superiority of the Golds. It takes all this to make me their physical equal. No wonder we serve them.
It's not mine.
None of this is mine. My skin is too soft, too lustrous, too faultless. I don't know my body without scars. I don't know the back of my own hands. Io would not know me.
Mickey takes my hair next.
Everything has changed.
It is weeks of physical therapy.
Walking slowly around the room with Evie, the winged girl, I'm left to my own thoughts. Neither one of us cares much to speak. She has her demons, and I have mine. So we are quiet and calm, except when Mickey comes to coo about what pretty children we would make together. One day, Mickey even brings an antique zither for me, with a soundboard of wood instead of plastic. It is the kindest thing he's ever done. I do not sing, but I play the solemn songs of Lycos, the traditional ones of my clan that no one beyond the mine will ever have heard. He and Evie sit with me sometimes, and though I think Mickey a wretched sort of creature, I feel as though he understands the music. Its beauty. Its importance. And afterward, he says nothing.
I like him then, too. At peace.
Well, you're a bit sterner than I first measured, Harmony says to me one morning as I wake.
Where have you been? I ask, opening my eyes.
Finding donors.
She flinches as she sees my irises.
The world does not stop because you are here, she says. We had work to do. Mickey says you can walk?
I am growing stronger.
Not strong enough,
she surmises, looking me over.
You look like a baby giraffe.
I'll fix that.
Harmony takes me beneath Mickey's club to a grungy gymnasium lit by sulphurous bulbs. I like the feel of the cold stone on my bare feet. My balance has returned, and it's a good thing because Harmony does not offer me her arm. Instead, she waves me to the center of the dark gymnasium.
We bought these for you,
Harmony says.
She points to two devices in the center of the dark space. The contraptions are silver and remind me of the suits knights wore in past centuries. The armor hangs suspended between two metal wires.
They are concentration machines.
I slide my body into the machine. Dry gel hugs my feet, my legs, my torso and arms and neck, till only my head is free. The machine is built to resist my movements, yet it responds even to the tiniest stimuli. The idea of building muscle is to exercise it, which is nothing more than using the muscle intensely enough to create microscopic tears in the tissue fiber. This is the pain one feels in the days after an intense workout. Torn tissue, not lactic acid. When the muscle repairs the tears, it builds on itself. This is the process the concentration machine is built to facilitate. It is the devil's own invention.
Harmony slides the device's faceplate over my eyes. My body is still in the gym, but I see myself moving across the rugged landscape of Mars. I'm running, pumping my legs against the concentration machine's resistance, which increases according to Harmony's mood or the location of the simulation. Sometimes I venture to the jungles of Earth, where I race panthers through the underbrush, or I take to the pocked surface of Luna before it was populated. But always I return home to Mars, to run across its red soil and jump over its violent ravines. Harmony sometimes accompanies me in the other machine, so I have someone to race. She pushes me hard, and sometimes I wonder if she's trying to break me. I don't let her.
If you're not vomiting during a workout, you're not trying, she says.
The days are excruciating. My body is a misery of aches from the arches of my feet to the back of my neck. Mickey's pinks massage me every day. There is no better pleasure in the world, but 3 days after beginning my training with Harmony, I wake up vomiting in my bed. I shiver and shake and hear cursing.
There's a science to this, you wicked little witch,
Mickey is shouting.
He will be a work of art, but not if you pour water on the paint before it's set. Do not ruin him.
He must be perfect,
Harmony says.
Dancer, if he is weak in any way, the other children will butcher him like a fresh-made drill boy.
You are butchering him,
Mickey whines.
You are ruining him. His body cannot handle the muscle breakdown.
He has not objected to the treatment,
Harmony reminds him.
Because he does not know he can object,
Mickey says.
Dancer, she has no understanding of the biomechanics involved in this. Do not let her ruin my boy.
He is not your boy,
Harmony sneers. Mickey's voice becomes softer.
Dancer, Darrow is like a stallion, one of the old stallions of Earth. Beautiful beasts that will run as hard as you push them. They will run and run and run until they don't, until their hearts explode.
There is silence for a moment. Then Dancer's voice.
Ares once told me that it is the hottest fire that forms the sternest steel.
Keep pushing the boy.
I resent two of my teachers after overhearing their words. Mickey, for thinking me weak, Dancer, for thinking me his tool. Only Harmony doesn't anger me.
Her voice, her eyes, seethe with an anger I feel in my own soul. She may have Dancer now, but she lost someone. The unscarred part of her face tells me that. She's no schemer, like Dancer, or his master, Ares. She's like me, brimming with a rage that makes all else so inconsequential. That night I cry. Over the next days, they feed me drugs to expedite the protein synthesis and muscle regeneration. After my muscle tissue has recovered from the initial trauma, they train me harder than before. Even Mickey, though his eyes are underlined with dark rings and his thin face is sallow, he does not object. He has grown distant these last weeks, no longer telling me stories, as though he fears what he has created, now that I'm taking fuller shape. Harmony and I speak very little to one another, but there is a subtle shift in our relationship, some sort of primal understanding that we are the same sort of creature. But as my body grows stronger, Harmony can no longer keep up, even though she's a hardened woman of the mines. That is only after 2 weeks. The distance between our capabilities continues to grow. After another month, she is like a child to me. Even then, I do not plateau. My body begins to change. I thicken. My muscles become strong and corded in the concentration machine, which I now supplement with weight workouts in high grav. Gradually, strength builds. My shoulders grow broader, rounded. I see tendons emerge in my forearms. A tense mass of hard muscles bind my torso like armor. Even my hands, which were always stronger than the rest of me, grow more powerful in the concentration machine. With a simple squeeze, I can pulverize rock. Mickey jumped up and down when he saw that. No one shakes my hand any longer. I sleep in high grav, so that when I move about on Mars, I feel fast, quick, more agile than ever before. My fast twitch fibers form. My hands move like lightning, and when they hit the gymnasium's human-shaped punching bag, it leaps like it's been struck by a scorcher. I can punch through it now. My body is becoming that of a gold, one of the prime stock, not a pixie, not a bronze. This is the body of the race that conquered the solar system. My hands are freaks. They're smooth, tanned, and dexterous, as any gold's should be. But there is a power in them out of proportion with the rest of me. If I am a blade, they are my edge. My body is not all that changes. Before I sleep, I drink a tonic laden with processing enhancers and speed listen to The Colors, The Iliad, Ulysses, Metamorphosis, the Theban plays, the draconic labels, Anabasis, and restricted works like The Count of Monte Cristo, Lord of the Flies, Lady Casterly's Penance, 1984, and The Great Gatsby. I wake knowing 3,000 years of literature and legal code and history. My last day at Mickey's comes 2 months after my last surgery. Harmony smiles with me after our workout as she drops me off in my room. Music thuds in the background. Mickey's dancers are going full tilt tonight. I'll get you your clothing, Darrow. Dancer and I want to have dinner with you to celebrate. Evie will clean you up. She leaves me alone with Evie. Today, as always, her face is as quiet as the snow I've seen on the HC. I watch her in the mirror as she cuts my hair. The room is dark, but for the light over the mirror. It shines from above, so she looks like an angel. Innocent and pure. But she is not innocent. Not pure. She's a pink. They breed them for pleasure, for the curves of their breasts and hips, for the tautness of their stomachs and the plump folds of their lips. Yet, she is a girl,
and her spark has not yet gone out. I remember the last time I failed to protect one like her. And me? It's hard to look at myself in the mirror. I'm what I know the devil to be. I am arrogance and cruelty. The sort of man who killed my wife. I am gold. And I am as cold as it. My eyes shine like ingots. My skin is soft and rich. My bones are stronger. I feel the density in my lean torso. When Evie is done cutting the golden hair, she stands back and stares at me. I can feel her fear, and I suffer it in myself. I am no longer a human. Physically, I've become something more.
You're beautiful,
Evie says quietly, touching my golden sigils. They're much smaller than her feather wings. The circle is set in the center of each hand's backside. Wings swoop back along the flesh, curving like scythes up the sides of my wrist bones. I look at Evie's white wings and know how ugly she must think them to be on her back, how she must hate them. I want to say something kind to her. I want to make her smile, if she can. I would tell her that she is beautiful, but she's lived a life of men saying that for some gain or another. She wouldn't believe a boy like me. And I don't believe her words to me. Io was beautiful. I still remember the flush of blood in her cheeks as she danced. She had all the raw colors of life, the crude beauty of nature. I am the human concept of beauty. Gold made soft and supple into man's form. Evie kisses the top of my head before darting away and leaving me alone to watch the HC in the mirror's reflection. I did not notice her slip a feather from her wings into my breast pocket. I'm tired of watching the HC. I know their history now, and I'm learning more every day, but I'm tired of being inside, tired of listening to Mickey's club thump its music and smelling the minty leaves he smokes. Tired of seeing the girls he brings into his family, only to sell away when someone bids high enough. Tired of seeing all the full eyes go hollow. This is not Lycos. There is no love, no family or trust. This place is sick.
My boy, you look fit to captain a fleet of torch ships,
Mickey says from the door. He slides in, smelling like his burners. His spindly fingers take Evie's feather from my breast pocket and roll it back and forth over his knuckles. He taps the feather to each of my golden sigils.
Wings are my favorite. Aren't they yours? They go to mankind's better aspirations.
He comes up behind me as I sit staring into the mirror. His hands go to my shoulders and he speaks down at my head, resting his chin upon it as though I am his property. It's easy to see he thinks I am. My left hand goes to the sigil on my right, lingering there.
I told you you were brilliant. Now it's your time to fly.
You give the girls wings, but you don't let them fly, do you? I ask.
It's impossible for them to fly. They are simpler things than you. And I can't afford to buy a license to have grav boots, so they dance for me,
Mickey explains. But you'll fly, won't you, my brilliant boy? I stare at him but say nothing. His lips slice into a smile because I unnerve him. I always have.
You're frightened of me,
I tell him. He laughs.
Am I? Oh, am I now, my boy?
Yes. You're used to knowing what's what. You think like the rest of them.
I nod to the HC's reflection. Things are set in stone. Things are well ordered. Red's at the bottom, everyone else standing on our backs. Now you're looking at me, and you're realizing that we don't bloody damn like it down there. Red is rising, Mickey.
Oh, you've got far to go.
I reach up and grab his wrist so that he cannot move. He stares at me in the mirror's reflection, struggling against my hold. Nothing is stronger than a helldiver's grip. I smile into the mirror, locking my golden eyes with his violet ones. He smells like fear, primal terror, like a mouse cornered by a lion. Be kind to Evie, Mickey. Don't make her dance. Give her a plush life, or I'll come back to pull your hands off your body. Chapter 13. Bad Things. Mateo is a tall wisp of a pink with long limbs and a lean, beautiful face. He is a slave, or was a slave for carnal pleasures. Yet he walks like a water lord. Beauty in his step, manners and grace in the wave of his hand. He has a penchant for wearing gloves and sniffing at even the smallest bit of dirt. Body maintenance has been his life's purpose, so he doesn't find it strange when he helps me apply a hair follicle killer to my arms, legs, torso, and privates. But I do. When we're done, we're both cursing, me from the sting, him from the punch I threw at his shoulder. I accidentally dislocated it just by punching it. I still don't know my own strength. And they do make their pinks fragile. If he is the rose, I am the thorns.
Bold as a toddler, you frenetic little baby.
Mateo sighs as properly as one can say such a thing.
Just as the newest lunar fashion requires. Now, with a bit of eyebrow sculpting, oh how your brows are like fungus-nibbling caterpillars, and nose hair eradication, cuticle readjustment, teeth whitening on those slick new chompers, which, if I may say, are yellow as mustard dappled with dandelions. Tell me, have you ever brushed your new teeth? And blackhead removal, which will be like probing for helium-3, toner adjustment and melatonin injections, and you'll be prim and rose properish.
I snorted the foolishness of it all.
I already look like a gold. You look like a bronze, a fool's gold, one of the low-bred bastards who look more khaki than gold. You must be perfect.
You're a bloody damn odd lark, Mateo.
He smacks me. Mind yourself. A gold would rather die than use that slithering mine slang. Gory dam, or gory, and slag instead of squab. Every time you say bloody or bloody dam, I will smack not your gob, but your mouth. And if you say squab or gob, I will kick you in the scrotum, which I do know my way around. As I will do if you do not get rid of that horrible accent. You sound like you were born in a gory dam dumpster.
He frowns and sets his hands on his narrow hips.
And then we will have to teach you manners. And culture, culture, Goodman.
I have manners.
By the Maker, we are so, so going to have to make you forswear that brogue as well as the cursing.
He pokes me as he lists out my flaws. Might try adopting some manners of your own, butt boy, I growl. He pulls off one of my gloves and slaps me across the face and takes a bottle in hand and holds it to my throat. I laugh.
You'll have to get your helldiver reflexes back soon to go with that gawky new body.
I eye the bottle. Going to poke me to death?
It is a polyene sword, Goodman. A razor, in other words. One moment it is soft as hair, but with an organic impulse it turns harder than diamond. It is the only thing that will cut through a pulse shield. One moment a whip, the next moment a perfect sword.
It is the weapon of a gentleman. A gold. For any other colour to carry it is death. It's a bottle, you daft. He jams me in the throat so that I gag. And it was your manners that forced me to draw my razor and challenge you, thereby precipitously ending your impudent life. You may have fought with fists for honour in that hovel you called home. You were a bug, then. An ant. An aureate fights with a blade at the slightest provocation. They have honour the likes of which you know nothing about. Your honour was personal. Theirs is personal, familial, and planetary. That is all. They fight for higher stakes, and they do not forgive when the blood...